Yep. You already know what time it is, man. It's your girl POC. We live right now, 900 AM WRD 96.1 Word Radio, each and every Friday, bringing you that greener, safer Philadelphia conversation. I'm excited to be on your airwaves, man, every Friday. Make sure you tap in with us. You can always see my face as well as my guest's beautiful face. All you got to do is go to Word TV, click that link in the bio to take you directly where you need to be. And don't forget to subscribe to the Word newsletter as well as downloading the Word Radio app and all of your words and all of your Google Play stores, Apple stores today. Make sure you download that right now. But we want to get into our guest today. I'm excited to have him on. He coming all the way from Baltimore. B-more. Got B-more in the building with us
All the
right
way,
now.
all the way, the whole
And
1 hour and 10 minute drive to Baltimore.
they say Philly and Baltimore look so much alike. So I'm excited to have you on air with us. You know, I'm sorry that we have to talk about something that's so devastating to the city right now, but I am excited to have you on the airways. We got Captain Bobby on the line with us, Bobby LePin. Please introduce yourself and let him know exactly who they're listening to.
So hey, I'm Captain Bobby. My wife and I a few years ago started a sailing charter boat business in Baltimore. I'm born and bred in this city, so our sailing charter is actually the city's only locally owned and operated sailing charter.
Awesome.
And when we started that charter, I realized, starting a business, you probably need social media, and so I started an Instagram page that quickly turned into its own entity. As people would make comments, I would put up videos of like beautiful sunsets in the city and things like that, and people would make all these negative comments on these videos. And so I started to clap back in my own videos. And before you knew it, we had an engagement rate of over 30%, and we're gaining 100 new followers a day on our sale on our Instagram account and TikTok, Sail Local, Sail Local. So we still have the boat business, obviously, but a lot of people have forgotten about that. Now I'm just some guy on Instagram, really, that's trying to do good things for the city and talk good things about Baltimore. I mean, Philly's in the same boat. A lot of people trash Philly for so many things. But if you're from Philly, you grew up in Philly, you know how awesome the city is and what it has to offer. And that's kind of what I'm doing down here in Baltimore, is just trying to tell the world that Baltimore is a great place in which to work, live, and play.
I know. And one thing that you did do, Bobby, was you did a great recap of what took place with the oil spill that just recently
Thanks.
happened in Baltimore.
Thanks.
It actually caught my attention. One of the reasons why I wanted to invite you on Eco Word is to give us some insight. You know, you being boots on the ground, you being right there as it's happening, as they're cleaning up the water. Let's start from the beginning. You know, what actually took place?
So, from what we're told, from what we know, there's an ongoing investigation right now. But from what we're told, Johns Hopkins Hospital, which is in East Baltimore, had a third-party vendor come in filling up its generator tanks. And these tanks hold hundreds to thousands of gallons worth of diesel. And something we don't know yet. I'm sure Hopkins knows what happened, but the public doesn't yet know how the tanks were overfilled and 5,000 gallons ended up in the harbor. We have Baltimore, like probably Philadelphia, I'm not sure, but I definitely know Baltimore has a lot of these hidden underground streams and rivers. I mean, we were a little basin town that just was never supposed to be a town or a city. Indigenous people didn't even live in Baltimore because it was such a crappy landscape, you know? But here, like, European settlers come in and they start building towns, and they build a port, and so on and so forth. And so over time, all of these rivers and streams, these ghost rivers and streams, have been hidden under streets and buildings. So whenever there is a spill like this, a chemical spill, the diesel spill in this case, or even like a sewage leak, sometimes that all ends up in the harbor because it makes its way through the storm drains into these magical ghost rivers and streams, and then into the harbor. And so what happened here, the hospital, Johns Hopkins Hospital in East Baltimore, is about a mile and a half away from where the diesel actually made entry. The 5,000 gallons of diesel made entry into the harbor. And it seems that what happened is it went into the storm drains and it finally funneled out to one of these underground rivers and streams. The biggest question that a lot of people have right now is, well, wait a second, shouldn't there be a secondary containment system? So if there is an overflow, it stops it. There's a lot of questions people have. How did it happen in the first place? Why wasn't there a secondary containment? And why did Johns Hopkins initially state that it was 200 gallons of diesel spill that was contained, which turned out to be 5,000 gallons of diesel in the Baltimore Harbor. So lots of questions.
For sure. And when it comes down to just the, impact of it all, I know you broke down some of the things that I want to get into that for sure in great detail, but I want to talk about the people. When you
Right.
think about 5 gallons of diesel spilling into the harbor, how does this actually affect the communities and the people who are living around there, if you know?
So, to be honest with you, I didn't realize this until this happened. I start doing deep dives and start calling around and talking to people. 5,000 gallons of diesel is actually a minor spill.
Okay.
It took us a day and a half to clean it up. So let me give some background. Some background that I think is really helpful to people that watched my video and was really helpful to me when I learned about it. So, well, I kind of always knew some of it, but diesel floats on top of water. So it makes it easy to clean up because of that fact, because it's thicker than water. So what agencies do that clean these spills up is they basically put these sifters on top of the water. They float on top of the water. A wheel spins, and that wheel attracts the diesel. So as they have a bunch of these little sifters out. The wheels are spinning. There's a vacuum hose connected to it, to a 4,000 gallon vacuum truck, and literally this 5,000 gallons was all sucked up in a day and a half. The rest of the diesel that's left, because there's going to be minute traces of diesel left,
For
that
sure.
will eventually mix with the water and dilute and just disappear from what I'm told. Now, this sounds, I'm a huge environmentalist, right? And I was really, really angry when this started. And I still am angry that there aren't these precautions or laws in place to prevent things from happening like this. But when I talk to the US Coast Guard and I talk to Baltimore DPW and I talk to some environmental experts, they're like, you know what? In the scheme of bad things that can happen, this isn't the worst thing because it's basically 5,000 gallons of diesel in a harbor that contains about 350 billion gallons of water. And luckily for this spill, though, it never even made it out to that 350 billion gallons. It was kind of contained in a natural little cubby in the harbor in this one marina. It was luck. All right, look, the current was in the right direction, the wind was in the right direction. And most of this diesel got pushed into a corner. That was our saving grace about how this didn't go impact our river otters in the Baltimore Harbor. And yes, to the listeners out there, Baltimore has river otters, and people lose their mind when they see them. We have turtles. In fact, where this spill occurred, there's a canal that dead ends. It's like a dead water canal. You wouldn't want to swim in it. Fish are in it or whatever. But we actually built this thing we call Turtle Island. It's so cute, man. It is so cute. The National Aquarium and the Waterfront Partnership got together and built this little island for turtles. And I would go out there right now. Right now, there's probably 25 turtles just lounging on this island. And that all the diesel, that's where the diesel was. So we had men and women from around the state of Maryland. Working for the Department of Natural Resources and the Department of the Environment with nets in boats, wading through the water and like waders, getting all these turtles, trying to save these turtles from the diesel and like washing them off with Dawn detergent and all that kind of stuff. Most people were concerned about the otters, and most people were in Baltimore were concerned about the turtles. And all of those things, yeah, and all of those things are totally fine now, but the next question that's arising in comments on my Reddit posts and my Instagram is, once again, Johns Hopkins has done something. You know, this organization that brings in $15 billion of gross revenue each year and is sitting on $13.5 billion of an endowment, once again has done something bad to the city of Baltimore. And a lot of people have brought up, it's an old conversation about, is Hopkins bad for Baltimore? Is it good for Baltimore? Every time Hopkins sneezes in the wrong direction, people bring it up. And obviously, it's the world's possibly greatest medical institution, one of the world's greatest medical education institutions. In the end, and it brings in billions of dollars in jobs to the state of Maryland. I mean, directly related to Hopkins is about 50,000 jobs are created in the state of Maryland. Indirectly, it's probably another 30,000 more. So
Bobby,
it's one of those double-edged.
do you think that Hopkins paid for the cleanup, or was it on the city of Baltimore to pay for the cleanup?
So originally, Hopkins, hours and hours and hours, it might have even been the day after. I honestly don't remember. Hopkins released a statement, but it was an internal statement to its employees saying that a third-party vendor had spilled stuff. That
Okay.
was it. So in the very first line
Yes,
of
I
the
remember
statement,
that. Yeah.
in the very first line, they're already trying to pass the buck, right? Well, it seems that way at least. Maybe they're not, maybe it's the truth, but
But
it
they
just
hired
seems
the
that way,
third party
right?
vendor. And they hired
But
the
they
third
hired
party
the
vendor.
firm.
Yeah.
Right. And also, if the email was generally trying to keep people away from one of these, the tanks were underground in a place called the Orleans Garage. It's a garage off of Orleans Street in Baltimore. And basically, the email was meant to tell employees, hey, the garage is closed, so find someplace else to park. They could have simply said, there has been a fuel leak. The garage is closed. Please find out. But instead, they said, a third party vendor has caused a fuel leak, so go find another place to park. It's just weird wording, you know, like. If normal people like you and me would write an email, we'd probably just be like, y'all, yo, this thing went down. Go find parking someplace else. But they didn't go that route. And the other thing, too, is they reported to the city at 11:03 a.m. that it was a 200-gallon leak and that it was contained. But I have text messages that I found from some employees that as early as 8:59 a.m. that are saying, hey, dude, I smell gas in the building. And these are buildings not. These are buildings adjacent to the leak, not even on the leak or very near the leak, saying it smells like the gas smell is crazy. We have to call the fire department. We might have to evacuate. And it took them from all that, from all of that, it took them until the end of the third day to say, we're sorry, we're partners with Baltimore, and we're going to clean up the spill. And let me tell you how much the spill is going to cost. So 5,000 gallons. What do you think? This because this like literally blew my mind. What do you think it's going to cost to clean up 5,000 gallons of diesel in the Baltimore Harbor?
And then you said it took like a day and a half, so that means people were acting really fast. I think
Yes.
I would say over 250,000.
Well, you're right, 100%. That's a very good guess. Yes. Probably anywhere between $400,000 to $600,000 is what it's going to cost. So, in the end of the day, an organization sitting on $13.5 billion, an organization bringing in $15 billion every year, is doing the gracious thing of simply doing what they're supposed to do, clean up their mess,
Fix, I'm about to
right?
say fixing their mistake. Yes.
Exactly. At a bare minimum, as human beings, the least we can do is fix what we screwed up. But
Exactly.
it took them 3 days to say that. Yeah.
And sometimes, accountability, especially when you are making such an impact and you want to keep your representation or your reputation in general at a high, and you want to make people feel like you are not part of the problem. It is going to take you some time to
Right.
be accountable, right? But for those who are just tuning in, you're listening to
Yeah.
Bobby LePin, aka Captain Bobby, who is the founder of Sail Baltimore, Sail Local, which is in Baltimore. And make
Still
sure you check
local.
them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bobby, how can they find more information about Sail Local before we jump more back into the conversation? What is your Instagram page?
Well, so our Instagram page is Sail Local, like Sail on a Boat, SAIL Local. We're on Instagram with the same thing, TikTok with the same thing, Reddit, which is really huge with the same thing. And YouTube, we're trying with YouTube. But Instagram is our bread and butter, man. If people want to see stuff about Baltimore or beyond that, I have a lot of political conversations on my Instagram as well, which we're kind of in a political conversation type of state right now in this country.
For
And if
sure.
people want to book a cruise, if they're coming to Baltimore, you can find us at boatbaltimore.com.
Yes. And Bobby, I appreciate you for making time for us this morning here on WRD.
Sure.
And I wanted to just ask, because one thing that really freaked a lot of people out, and you may know a little bit more about this because you were on scene, was the color of the water, right? It was turning that reddish
Right.
color. Can you break down why do you feel like it was turning that color? And then would you say that the water has went back to its original state?
Yeah, so when diesel is produced or when it's manufactured, whatever it's called, it's yellow in nature. If you've ever seen a truck filling up diesel, it comes out yellow. Diesel is taxed. There's a road tax to diesel because it's going to go into like a tractor trailer or basically create, you know, carbon emissions, you know, on the road. When you have diesel that's going to go into a generator or like a farm tractor that's going to stay on a farm or even a boat, they dye it red. They dye it red. And it's only for the government to know that this is non-taxed off-road diesel versus the normal diesel that you put into a truck or whatever on the road that's just a natural color of yellow. And a lot of people had that question. It was amazing to me that in the news, the media, they were like, they dye it red. And that's just where they left it. They never explained why the diesels dyed red. But that's why. It's simply for taxes, you know, like a lot of things the government does.
And another thing that you talked about, thank you for breaking that down, but another thing that caught my attention too is that, you mentioned the groups that actually came out to help clean up the water. And that led me down the conversation towards green jobs, right? So the fact that Baltimore has so many green jobs accessible and ready for these type, I mean, we don't want these type of things to happen, but the fact that you all have people in position when these things are happening, just in your opinion, how important do you think green jobs are right now more than ever, especially when we're combating climate crisis?
I mean, for the world's largest natural estuary, the Chesapeake Bay, green jobs, not just in Baltimore, but along the entire watershed, are important. Remember, the Chesapeake Bay watershed starts in New York and ends in Virginia. That's every single river or stream that feeds into it is all part of this watershed. If somebody poops in New York, it'll eventually run down the water and end up in the Chesapeake Bay here in Maryland or Virginia. And it's so important. It is so important now with the amount of agreements that our country is breaking when it comes to the environment, the amount of funding that they're losing. When it comes to the amount, when it comes to the environment, these are important. And what's mostly important now is because the funding might not come back until the next administration. Like, look,
That's right.
let's hope, you know, let's hope for bigger things. Let's hope that the Congress is taken back. But in the end of the day, what's really important now is that people volunteer for a lot of different nonprofits. In Maryland, we have the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. In Baltimore alone, we have Blue Water Baltimore, which literally is working day in and day out to try to make the water cleaner. And we also have the Waterfront Partnership, which has the same type of mission. They work together. And in your local area, I'm sure in Philadelphia, there are probably tons of nonprofits that are needed.
Yes, that's right.
When this event happened, hundreds, I got hundreds. So to give your audience an idea, what our videos are seeing about 1.5 million to 2 million views per month, our videos and what we get on Instagram, right? I did four videos on this diesel spill, and within those four videos in 4 days, we received 3.7 million views on all four videos across all the
Beautiful.
platforms, right? Hundreds of comments were, "How can I help? I can grab my net. I can be down there in an hour." And that is awesome. It is amazing as humans that we come together in a time of crisis, whether it was 9/11, people helping their neighbors, or this crisis in Baltimore. But when we really, really need the help, when nonprofits are struggling, it's just the every other days, because every other days they're still doing the work, they're still trying to keep the harbor clean. And this incident is just an example of the resilience of nature, of how nature can bounce back when it's healthy to begin with. Like, the Baltimore Harbor isn't the cleanest harbor in the world, of course, right? But in the last 15 years that Waterfront Partnership has been working, we have got to the point where we have made it swimmable. This Saturday, June 14th, we are literally having a paddle. It's called the Baltimore Flotilla. It's a 5-mile paddle through the harbor. Hundreds of people participate on a kayak or a paddleboard
Awesome.
or a canoe just to show that the harbor's healthy. On June 21st, me, the mayor, and other people, 199 other people, are jumping into the harbor to swim to show the world how far we've come in the 15 years that we've been working on the harbor. But we only got this way because of volunteers helping, not when there's a crisis, but every single day. And a lot of these events, don't think it's going to suck. A lot of the events are fun, and most nonprofits end their events with beer. So, like, you know, you go out there, you save the world, and at the end of the day, you crack open a beer and have camaraderie with someone with the same interests, the same mindset, or who's out there also trying to save the world. It's a beautiful thing, and it's a great friendships to build. And you're in the same context, in the same breath, you're helping to literally save the planet.
Yes, and my last question before we wrap up, Bobby, and again, I appreciate you making time for us this morning. And thank you for your passion,
Sure.
for the city of Baltimore, but then also just for the environment in general, and the education that you put behind it. And congratulations to you as well on the numbers and the views. That means you're really making an impact on
Thanks.
your audience and your demographic. But I wanted to
Thank
ask
you.
you, when it comes down to John Hopkins playing a big role, a major role, in this particular situation? Have they come out to talk about any preventions, you know, anything as far as like what they would do to make sure that something like this never happens again?
Not yet. When you have institutions as large as Johns Hopkins and as famous as Johns Hopkins, they have a lot of attorneys. And I'm sure before they come out and say anything, they're waiting for that investigation, that ongoing investigation to be completed between the Coast Guard and the Maryland Department of the Environment. And at that point, I hope that they want to have a discussion. I have reached out to Johns Hopkins. The video that I did specifically talking about Johns Hopkins, it started with the question, is Johns Hopkins bad for Baltimore? Kind of clickbaity, I understand, but that's the conversation that a lot of Baltimoreans have been having for decades. Whether it's what Johns Hopkins has done to impoverish families, so low-income families, pushing them out of neighborhoods because of gentrification, testing they did on people of color without their knowledge back in the day. I mean, there's a lot of stuff, right? In the end of the day, people basically say Johns Hopkins has $13.5 billion in a hopper. They make $15 billion a year in gross. They should probably just be doing more for the community of Baltimore. All they do a lot. I want to give them that. They do a lot. They probably invest about $350 million a year in minority and women-owned businesses for construction purposes and things like that, which is amazing, right? But they have a lot more money than that, and they could probably make a bigger difference. And so
Yeah,
I'm
a
hoping
big
that after this
impact.
investigation is done and the lawyers finally draft their thing, I hope that Johns Hopkins does reach back out to me or to the people that actually have power here, like the Waterfront Partnership or the mayor's office, and talk about what they might want to do in the future to prevent these things from happening. They have a lot of land. They're the largest landlord in Baltimore City. They own, I mean, they've been here for a very long time. They've been rich for a very long time, and they've gobbled up a lot of this land and these because at one point they were poor neighborhoods, and it was easy for
For him to
big
grab
rich
them.
landlord to, yeah, exactly. You know, it's easy to walk over poor people, you know, when you have a lot of money.
And Bobby, again, I appreciate you. Thank you for all the work that you're doing again in the city of Baltimore. Before I let
Absolutely.
you go, one more time, please let the people know how they can find you, social media, website, all that good stuff.
Yeah, the biggest thing is follow us on Instagram, Sail Local, SAIL Local, Sail Local. We're also on TikTok under the same name, as well as Reddit and YouTube. And if they want to book a cruise, we would love it. I don't get paid for what I do making these videos, and it is a lot of work, as you know, for someone that's you know that does the podcast and edits videos. It's a lot of work, but I think it's important work. And the way I pay my bills is by taking people out for sailboat rides. And if you want to do that, if you want to come make that 1 hour and 10 minute drive from Philly down to Baltimore, our website is boatbaltimore.com. Boatbaltimore.com.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you. I hope you have a great weekend. I look forward to coming down to Baltimore and joining you one day on the sale for
Yeah,
sure.
me too. Me too. 100%. Yeah.
Yes, we're about to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, now you'll have more Eco Word, Eco Word, Eco Word. It's your girl POC. Stay locked.